All right, it's 6 o'clock. Am I center mass? Did you transition me? All right, I got the thumbs up from the sound. So we're good to go. You got yours? Got your notes? All right. Well, let's go ahead and go. Well, let me put my phone on silent, because that would be smart. Then we'll go to God in prayer. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful blessing just gathering us together. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us and lifting us up. Lord, we pray that as we continue to seek your face, that we just fall in love more and more with your word as we dig in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Excuse me. All right, so we are continuing where we left off last week. I think this might actually be a shorter lesson. I say that. because we are just going to finish up what we didn't do last week. But that thing said is a longer passage. If you remember last week, Jacob, the heel grabber, guy who's behaving like the snake, right from the birth, he's, I will crush you, you know, drawing us back to the imagery from the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, right? You're going to step on, and he's the, so he, we have the image in our head already of the serpent. He's the trickster. And he's tricked his brother out of the wheel, right, with some red stuff. It turned out to be lentil soup. But God said he's going to be the one that's going to be ahead. He's going to be the one that's going to be the chosen line. And apparently he doesn't like waiting for God's methods. And he's been tricking people and deceiving to get it. And his mom also is saying, well, you know, God said, so we're going to make sure that you get it. And we're going to deceive and lie and trick. And this has not been the best method plan. And so he sent, last week, Isaac sent his son that he loved, you know, to go get that wild game, that yummy stuff, so he could put it in his mouth. And we have like all these Genesis 3 imagery, right? He's trading, yeah, that apple kind of imagery. And Rebecca says, no. We'll just go get a goat. I'll fix it the way he likes it. And that'll fool him, and we'll put some hair on you. And so that's where we're leaving off. Yaakov is walking into the tent with his tasty food that his father loves. So that's where we left off. All right. So we'll continue on the pattern that we have. We'll just read through. We're going to read all the way through from 27:18 all the way through 40. And then we're just going to go through it and see where it takes us. Sound good? Awesome. When he came to his father, he said, my father. And he answered him, here am I. Who are you, my son? And Jacob replied to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how did you ever find it so quickly, my son? And he replied, because Yahweh, your God, made it happen for me. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come closer so I may touch you, my son. Are you really my son Esau or not? So Yaakov came closer to his father, and Isaac, and he touched him. He said, the voice is of Jacob, but the hands are of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. And he said, and he asked again, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, he replied, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it closer to me and let me eat some of my son's game so that I might bless you." Jacob brought it closer to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, "Please come closer and kiss me, my son." So he came closer and kissed him. When Isaac smelled his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Yahweh has blessed. May Elohim give you from the dew of the sky, from the riches of the land, an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you." I guess I'm not doing that, am I? That's okay. "May people serve you and nations bow to you in worship. Be masterful over my relatives. May your mother's son bow in worship to you. Those who curse you will be cursed. Those who bless you will be blessed." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Yaakov, and Yaakov had left the presence of his father, his brother Esau arrived from his hunting, and he had also made some delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father get up and eat some of his son's game so that you may bless me." But his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And he answered, "I am Esau, your firstborn." And Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. "Who was it then, he who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came in and blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed." And when Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with a loud, bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he replied, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." So he said, "Isn't he rightfully named Jacob? For he has cheated me twice now. He took my birthright, and look, he has taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you saved a blessing for me?" But Isaac answered Esau, "Look, I have made him a master over you and gave him all of his relatives as his servants and have sustained him with grain and new wine. What then can I do for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." And Esau wept loudly. His father Isaac answered him, "Look, your dwelling place will be away from the riches of this land, away from the dew of the sky above. You will live by your sword. You will serve your brother. But when you rebel, you will break his yoke from your neck." That's a passage, isn't it? All right. So he tricked his brother out of his birthright. Now he's tricked his father out of the blessing. They're a kind of a package deal. Like getting the birthright, having the birthright also means you're going to get the blessing of the firstborn. So this is kind of a package deal thing. He just gets, when you start lying and deceiving, you just have to keep on lying and deceiving because people are going to find out and you keep getting your way. And it seems like even though God said that Jacob was going to be the one that's going to get it, Esau says, Isaac said, "I'm going to give it to Esau." And the blessing he gives him is pretty much like everything. I'm going to take it all for him. So we're back again to that question. Did Isaac know what God had said? Or is he choosing to willfully leave Jacob out of it? Or maybe he's just playing favorites. It seems like favorites is a big thing with this family. And it's going to be a big thing with his son. We're going to see that as we count the stories to come. So he said, "Who are you?" When he came to says, "My father," because that's what one says, right? Remember, like when Esau came in the first time, he said, "Esau," he said, "Here I am." We have kind of like an echoing kind of effect here. Who are you, my son? Well, Jacob replies, I am Esau, your firstborn. Rise up, sit and eat, so you can bless me, so you can give me a blessing. I like this. How is it ever that you found it so quickly? I get that kind of that Red White Riding Hood kind of feeling right here, right? What big eyes you have, Grandma. How did you ever find it so quickly, my son? I mean, it does take time to go hunt and then prep the food and prepare. I mean, did you just go, like, to the fridge and get the animal? This is very quickly. I didn't expect you to be done so fast. And it said, bless because Yahweh, this is interesting. Yahweh, your Elohim, has made it happen for me. He doesn't claim it as his own God. Your God has blessed me. That's interesting. Maybe he follows the God of his father, but maybe he doesn't really follow, he hasn't really made it his own. Maybe he's like a lot of college students. When I was teaching college classes, I'd go in and ask them, like, what religion are you? Or what, are you a Christian or not? You know, those kind of questions, you know. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, and I get a lot of, well, I'm a Christian because my parents brought me to church. And that's the mindset, right? A lot of young people have that. They've never really made it their own. It was my parents' choice, and I went because of them. These are also the same people that will once they're getting to college and taste freedom, they won't go back to church. Because it's not their own. They might go back eventually, but. And he says, because Yahweh, your Elohim, and I really have that feeling like it's your God. I may worship him because you worship him. I may speak to him. We may as a family worship him, but it's your decision. It's not really my decision yet. It's not, I have not made it my own yet. His heart is not in it. And we'll see this happening a lot in Israel's history where they become religiously fervent people. They follow all the religious, but they don't actually have God in their heart. They don't actually have, like, the love of God. They, you know, they don't have a hill. And like Isaiah, he talks quite a bit about it. I'd rather have your heart than your sacrifices. Why? Because they're following all the religious, going to church, reading your Bibles. But I don't have your heart. It's just something you do. And this is kind of how this feels to me. It's not his yet. It won't be for some time. But yes, and he's being all deceitful, so he's acting like the snake. Because Yahweh, your Elohim, Yahweh, remember your spirit being, you, which of the gods? Yahweh. Has made it happen for me. I think I should just bring up, because it's been a long time since we talked about Yahweh and Elohim and all the names for God. It's been a long time since we talked about that. We had a long discussion on that when we first started this, didn't we? Elohim is a word that means God or gods or spirit beings. Even like human beings can become spirit beings if they're like in dead forms, like when the Witch of Endor raises Solomon. Brings him to the king, Saul, he's called an Elohim. It's a spirit being, anything that's kind of a spirit being. Yahweh is the name of God. So which of the Elohim, which of the name of God, which of the gods, which name of the spirits? It's Yahweh, this one, the God of Israel. This is the one. And so sometimes in the Bible, we'll see Elohim referring to specifically the God of Israel. Sometimes it'll mean just any spirit being, kind of generic. Sometimes it refers to other gods, like foreign gods, that will actually be translated. This is interesting. When we go to the Greek, the ones that's referencing to other gods, that word gets translated into the word that is demons. So when we think demons of the New Testament, we really should be thinking, if we're reading the Old Testament Greek, we should be thinking false gods. That's what demons are the false gods. Really kind of interesting. So Yahweh, you're the one that you follow, the one you worship, the Elohim that you worship. Not denying any other gods, just saying, hey, the one that you worship. The spirit being you worship. God of Israel, that will become of Israel. And yes. Now, you can't go too much. When we use the word hate, and we'll bring this up again. When we say hate, we think anti-love, like, I hate you. Hate in that sense is more like not chosen. So, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, means more like I haven't chosen him. I've chosen Jacob, I've not chosen Esau. And the words are great. I mean, it's not a bad translation. It's just our encyclopedias bring other things into it. And so, when God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, it's not like, well, I've condemned him to hell. That's not what it means. That's not what we're going here, even though that's where some people will take it. That's really not what the Hebrew kind of, it means more like, I have not chosen him. He's not part of that line that's chosen. We're following the line of Jacob, even though Jacob right now is acting like the snake, and Esau isn't. So makes us wrestle with this idea: what happens when the chosen people, or the chosen one, or the chosen line, or us as the chosen people, behave like the snake? God, how does God deal with us? And so we're wrestling with these ideas as we read these. I just thought of this. Think of the irony here. Yahweh, your Elohim, made it happen for me. What is God choosing to happen? It definitely isn't this deceit. it's the deceitful humans are causing this to happen. But it was Yahweh that did it. What kind of irony there, right? He's claiming to know what God is doing. And so definitely maybe... you remember when Joseph said to his brothers, you planned it for evil, but Yahweh Elohim planned it for good? We'll get there eventually. So maybe this really does speak to, maybe Yaakov is presuming to know the will of God and saying, God is doing this. And he wants me to be deceitful in order to take the blessing, like he said to my mother in that prayer. And maybe that's why they're scheming. Maybe that's really how they feel. They're really feeling, I don't know if they're really feeling like evil here. We want to put them in like the evil role. There's the good guys and the bad guys, and they're the bad guys. Right? And Rebecca may have been telling Yaakov all his life, you're going to be the head. And just like Sarah and Abraham, they kind of like, let's come up with this plan. Maybe this is the way God wants it to be done. And then maybe they're like, well, maybe this is the way God wants it to be done. I don't really feel like this is the evil bad guys. This is more of a, Let's take wisdom for ourselves. I feel like we're going back to that. Well, actually, I know we're going back to that tree where we see the wisdom. We know wisdom is good. We need that Tov and Ra, that wisdom of Tov and Ra. But instead of waiting for God to give it to us, we took it for ourselves. Abraham and Sarah, and yep, they follow that same pattern. So I really think we're supposed to be following that pattern here when we see them doing this. We're not like, oh, they're just deceitful, bad people. They're presuming to know the will of God and acting upon it as if, like, it's a good thing. And, you know, that's maybe true for a lot of people. You know, no one sees themselves as the villain of the story. You know, even like Hitler. We can go like the worst one we can think of, right? He didn't see himself as the villain of the story. We see him as the villain of the story, but he didn't. And all those people that followed him blindly didn't see him as the villain of the story. You know, there were lots of people that saw it happening and they were like, oh, I can't do this. Or they followed it because I don't want to die. But, you know, lots of that kind of stuff happening. But, you know, I don't think most people see them as the villain of the stories. Come closer so that I might touch you. Remember now, he put lamb's goat skin on his body, on his neck and on his hands, so that Esau must have been one hairy dude. I mean, I have petted a goat. That is not someone I would want to be feeling. Are you really my son? So he comes closer. Well, the voices of Yaakov. Apparently his hearing is pretty good still. Eyes are gone. Taste buds are gone because that's wild goat and game from the field don't taste the same. The hands are the hands of Esau. Come in and kiss me so I can smell you. So you smell. But remember, he put on his brother's clothes. He smelled the smell of the field, and I really think Isaac is like smelling like what he wishes. Like, I remember. I remember the good times. I remember. Olfactory, your nose, has been linked to memory centers. One of the fastest things for memory centers. That's why I used to tell college students to like study with the cologne or peppermints or something like that that you're going to be wearing or taking during the test. So if you study with peppermints in your mouth, then you go take the test and you pop a peppermint in your mouth, the smell can bring back the stuff you smelled. It really works. Oh, absolutely. So, you know, every time I smell the pipe smoke, I think of my papa, because he was a pipe smoker. And so I think when he smells all these clothes, of course this is Esau, because he smells the way I remember. Even though he knows it, I mean, he hears his other son. Like, no. But his memory, he trades that taste, that smell, that memory for his son. That overtakes him. The memories overtake him. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, let me bless you. And he says, it starts with all the smell of my son. So he's like, he's going backwards. Let me, Yahweh has blessed these fields. And may God give you the dews of the sky, the fatness of the land, the riches of the land. May much grain, abundance of grain, and fresh wine. May people serve, become your servants, and may groups of people bow down to you. Be more mighty than your brother. May the sons of your mother. Now, this is interesting. May your mother's sons bow down and worship you. How many sons does his mother have? One, but he's got a plural there. So we've got this idea. Well, let me come back to that idea. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. We've heard that language before, haven't we? Where did we hear that language from? Abraham. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, as soon as Esau, as soon as this happens, Esau comes walking in from his hunt. This is supposed to, you know, sometimes we think to take the Bible too seriously. This is supposed to make you chuckle and be like, oh, you know, it's kind of like a play. Blesses you and, oh, he walks in. What are you doing? you know, it's one of those things, you know, and brother come in from hunting and of course, he has more tasty things. And we have this mirroring happen. Who are you? I am Esau. Wait, we already just read that, didn't we? It mirrors everything that happened. And then he began to shake, tremble uncontrollably. And I've been deceived. I've been deceived. Well, bless me too. Bless me too, Father. Don't you only have one? He took your blessing. Isn't he rightly named heel grabber, trickster? Where he has grabbed my heel since the day we were born. that's a paraphrase. since the day we were born, he's been grabbing my heel, tripping me up. I feel some bitterness starting to come on there. He took my bekora. That's the word. He took my bekora, which means my birthright, bekora, and now he's taking my bereka. They're the same four Hebrew letters, just put in different orders. And so he's playing with the same things. What can I do for you? I've given him everything. That's interesting, isn't it, though? I mean, he kind of gave everything he had to his son, even though he had two sons. And then he says, you know what? And his father, look, dwelling place will be away from the richest land. You're going to be away from the land that's going to be abundant. Well, I don't want to hear that, Dad. You're going to be away from the dews of the sky. I gave that to your brother, too. You're going to live by the sword. And you will serve your brother. Well, I don't like that, Dad, either. But when you rebel, you will break his yoke from your neck. So we have these two scenes who have mirror images of relationship to each other. Well, the brother comes in deception, and then they all mirror each other, and these twists comes in the poem of blessing. We have these two. We have one poem of blessing and one poem of non-blessing. I think there we are. Let me point out a couple things. So the smell, if you look at the smell right there, the smell of the field that Yahweh has blessed with the dew and the fatness and the grain and the wine, these are vocabulary items that so far have painted the Eden imagery. So we're thinking Genesis chapter 1. Fruit trees, the abundance, the being fruitful and multiplying, the dew of the skies, water that mysteriously comes from the skies, the grain, the wine, the breast produce. These are all Eden imagery. So basically, he's saying, I'm going to bless you with Eden. I'm going to bless you with Eden. Which is really interesting, because as soon as this passage is over, we won't get to it today, he has to go into exile. And so he leaves the Eden-like imagery and goes into exile. Off into the east. And we have that same Genesis chapter 4 language of leaving and going into exile. So we have this, I'm going to bless you with the Eden's picture. So very, very vivid. And you'll see like those kind of images in the Psalms and so on as well. So right after the Eden abundance, Yitzhak talks about the rule and authority that has been given to Yaakov. People groups bowing down, the sons of your mother. Let's talk about that real quick. We're already seeing, because he only has one brother, so it's, you know, the other, you can't rule over the sons if there's only one. Jacob here, Yaakov, is looking forward, expanding the rule and authority to when people have multiplied, the seeds of your family. So you're going to rule over the nations to come. And so it's a in the future kind of thing. So that's kind of interesting. You're going to subdue it. And this is the same language that we see in Genesis chapter 1:28, if you look on the chart there. Genesis 1:28. Elohim blesses them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the land, and subdue it, and rule over them, fish of the sea. And we have that kind of same imagery here that Yaakov is passing it on, that Isaac is passing it on to Jacob, Yaakov. Like, hey, you're going to be the person that rules over. You're going to, and we're pitching it forward. And it's interesting, as we know, and the readers of this will eventually know, because it's probably finalized later on, where they know that this is the father of Israel. This is the guy who becomes Israel. And, of course, being meditative language, literature, you're supposed to go back and think about it and back and forth and read it and think. You're going to rule over the nations to come. Israel will be, what, over all the ones who, his line will come, the 12 tribes. And so we're going to see that come up. Then the last part of this blessing, Yitzhak brings up exactly what God said to Abraham. Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Genesis chapter 12 is where we saw that. It's word for word. So we have the same tension here that we felt with Abraham, that when God's going to bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him, even though this guy is not always going to behave. And remember, when Abraham behaved like the snake with Pharaoh and then again with the Abimelech, and God still blessed him and cursed those who cursed him and blessed those who blessed him because he said he was going to do so. Now we have Jacob getting that blessing, and he's definitely not behaving. He's still behaving like the snake. So we have that. So it's really interesting. And that's the blessing. Can we think of any other stories in Genesis where the sons, and the many sons and the father and the mother are going to bow down to the younger one? Oh, there you go, Joseph. Genesis 37, 9 through 11. I had a dream. And one day our children, no. Then I had a dream, and it told me, brothers, look, and it said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down. And he took his father's brothers, and his father rebuked him. What kind of dream is this? Am I your mother and your brothers really going to bow down before you? And his brothers were jealous of him. We'll talk about some different ways people have interpreted that, but when we get there. But this is kind of, this story here, the Joseph story, takes the same language as here, you know, the younger one's going to, the older one's going to bow down to the younger one. Jacob and Yaakov says, you think me and your mother are going to bow down? But we have other stories. Genesis 49. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hands will be the necks of your enemies. Your father's son will bow down to you. Judah is a young lion. He will return from the kill. He crouches. He lies down like a roaring lion or a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah or from the staff. The conclusion of Genesis, the messianic snake-crushing seed is going to come from Joseph's line. It's not going to come from Joseph's line, which is what we expect, right? Because Joseph takes up majority of that last story, right? It's a novella where you're like, well, of course, it's Joseph. He's the hero, right? But Jesus doesn't come from Joseph's line. He comes from Judah's line. So that kind of throws like a, wait, we've been talking about Joseph this whole time. Judah becomes the promise that Yaakov is received. So Judah becomes the inheritor of the promise that Jacob is receiving in the chapter we were reading. As Jacob inherits, like, you're going to be the chosen one, Judah's going to be his son that inherits it. Yitzhak thinks he's giving it to Esau, but really he's giving it to Judah. So every time that somebody has been given the Eden blessing, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Yitzhak, then Rebecca, it's been a gift and a good thing. And this time around, we feel like it's a good thing. Eden blessing is good. But the guy is nowhere near good. And it feels very complicated and sad. Um, And it's odd because, like, as he's talking about the blessing here, there's more than enough for everybody, right? It's a blessing. There's enough for everybody. But somehow it feels scarce when in the hands of Isaac, like he can only give it to one. But it's Eden's blessing. It's for everybody. There's abundance. It's enough for everybody. And only one person can have the Eden blessing. And so it's like, this is, I don't know, I find this very, I struggle with this. Like, it's Eden's blessing. How can you say I can only give it to one of you? I read this, not that one. No. Okay. I think I put it in the notes. There's a Tim Mackey quote that I liked. When I was thinking about this, I come across this. I like that. Humans begin to abuse the Eden blessing. Over time, humans come to think the blessing is theirs to use however they want, and they adopt a scarcity mindset. But in reality, the blessing represents the opposite of scarcity. I like that. As they begin to abuse the blessing. And then, of course, that got me thinking about other things when we abuse God's blessings. And we begin to think it's ours to control and command and give out. And we keep it for ourselves and decide who gets the blessing and who doesn't get the blessing. And it's a scarce thing. I think about our children. When they're very young, they're like, you say, I love you. Well, can you love me too? And I don't know. It's like something that can love. But his parents, like Jacob, Isaac, they have a hard time with loving more than one, apparently. Jacob has a hard time with that. We're going to see in these coming stories that he does not treat people very well. But this is the second time when people have given the blessing. The first time was to Noah. God gave the Eden blessing directly to Noah. When Noah woke drinking and learned what had happened to him, Canaan is cursed. He'll be the lowest slave to his brother. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. And he speaks in these ambiguous statements over his brother. And Yefeth could be a positive thing or a negative thing or both. But it's Noah who's delivering the blessing and the curse. It parallels what Yitzhak is doing right here. Poem of non-blessing. The non-blessing end of this, we're almost done, is clearly the inversion, right? If you're going to be abundance, you're not going to get the fat land. If you're going to have the dews of the skies, you're not going to be out. You're going to have to leave it out. You're going to be in a wanderer. Who's the first? He's not the first wanderer, is he? Who's the first wanderer? You guys remember? Nope. Cain, Genesis 4, 12. If you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield. It will be a restless wanderer on the earth, speaking to Cain. The word wanderer is actually a rare word. You want to guess how many times it appears in the Bible? In Genesis? We just had it once. That's right. That's it. Cain and here with Esau. Cain and Esau. So if it only happens the twice in Genesis, are we supposed to link the two together? Yes. They're drawing that hyperlink. Wanderer. Draw back to the other word, wanderer. Who's the wanderer? It's Cain. So we're supposed to draw the two together. He's going to live at odds with his brother, or swords. He'll be a servant. Away from the blessing. But there's also a comparison to Esau to Ishmael as well, isn't there? This man's going to be like a wild donkey. He's going to be an animal of a man. His hand's going to be against everyone. He's going to live in exile from his brothers. This is now the third that's going to live into exile that way. The son, Abraham had two sons, right? Isaac and Ishmael. And now we're on the sons Isaac and Esau and Jacob. And Ishmael and Esau are compared to each other. So, interesting enough, what tribe is Esau going to marry into? It's like the next sentence. He's going to, what? Canaanites? He's going to marry actually an Ishmaelite woman. When we trace it back, it's from someone from the line of Ishmael. Mm-hmm. So we got like these teams going on, right? You got Ishmael and Esau teaming up. And Jacob and... So this is like the non-blessing on Esau. And it's echoing all this. But unlike Ishmael... and Cain, here, when you rebel, you will break his yoke from your neck. You're not going to be a slave forever. So Esau's tribe is what? Do we know? They're called, in the Bible, they're called? Close. Nope. Close. Edomites. Yep. So if you read on into the biblical story, Edom is continually defeated and subjugated by the Israelites, especially David. He's the one who defeats them, and they actually start paying tribute to him. 2 Kings 8. During Jeroboam's reign, Edom rebels, however. So there's this little note in 2 Kings that Edomites revolt from under the hand of the line of Judah, which is where Jeroboam, he's from the line of Judah, and they make a king for themselves. So this, you're going to rebel, break the neck, when you rebel and break the neck, it's looking forward all the way to 2 Kings. that's when Edom finally breaks free. It's a good example of how stories of these ancestors are all designed to anticipate civil rivalries that are going to keep going through, right on through the Torah and the prophets. And, all the way back to that little poem that says there's two nations that will come from your womb. One will be greater than the other, and the greater will serve the younger. Okay. Well, we got about 10 minutes left. I think we are done for the day. I don't think we have anything else that I need to talk about. If that is anything I missed that you guys weren't talking about in that section. You got already got more than you thought you were, right? All right. Next week, we will talk about the partners splitting and Jacob going into... That is, are we meeting next week? Next week is... Veterans Day. I didn't think there would be anything that interferes with our mess meeting, but I want to make sure before we commit. Everyone's still okay to meet next week? Yeah? Okay. So next week we will talk about the brother splitting. And we'll get all the way up until, well, we won't get very far, I'm sure. I don't want to talk, it's going to take us at least a week, if not two, to talk about the ladder to heaven, the stairway to heaven, the Jacob's ladder, whatever we want to call it. So we will not get to, well, that's where I want to get to that point where we can start that next, the week after. So be thinking ahead as we're coming up on the holiday seasons. We'll need to make a decision as a group. We're not making the decision tonight, so be looking at your calendars. The week of Thanksgiving, do we want to meet? The week of Christmas, do we want to meet? The week after Christmas, I'm probably not going to be here. I'm probably going to probably say we're going to cancel. I'm probably going to take a minute and go visit my mom, but I don't. Not that's not for sure. So. But we need to make those decisions as the holidays are coming up. So, all right. Any questions, comments, concerns before we pray? All right. Well, let's pray and we'll be done. Father God, Lord, we praise you today, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings, Lord. We thank you for just giving us your word. Lord, we thank you for putting up with us when we behave like the snake. I want to pray that we turn from that and learn from this book of Genesis, that we may let you decide what is wisdom, what is good and bad, tov and ra. As we worship you and we thank you, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.